There he is. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for your patience. Appreciate that so much. Infinite patience is the only way to get immediate results. So it says in A Course in Miracles. Yes. So how are all the superheroes doing this week? It's been great getting so much feedback from you guys. And we're just loving all the the way things are just going backwards and forwards, and just hearing all the amazing feedback that's coming through as I'm doing the consultancies. And yeah, we're just loving it. If anyone has any trouble with the connection, all the rest of it, you can just restart it. You know, just reconnect. Anytime during this thing, I've got the server monitor up here. I'm looking at the server monitor, so I'm seeing what you're seeing now instead of just seeing a reflection of myself. Yeah, just press that reload. So here we are, superhero training into what, the fourth week, is it? So we've done 3 weeks on the consciousness and the awareness and all the protocols that are included with that. Now, let's just run over the homework. Have you been saying your statement, your agreement every day? The superhero agreement for yourself. If you haven't, then do that over and over and over and over and over. This is really, 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 really important. That's a contract with yourself, you know? So you want to be saying that over and over and over. Tuning in with your partners every day, holding each other accountable for, are you doing the exercises? Are you doing the programs? Is there resistance coming up? If there is resistance coming up, then talking about that to your partners and sharing with that way. Sharing is caring, you know? And just through, you know, supporting each other and just bouncing a couple of things off each other, we can move through stuff, you know. We can help each other recognize patterns and just encourage each other and motivate each other to drop the fear and drop the resistance and surrender to the great love and support that we have here. And this is a wonderful, 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 wonderful thing. So, what else should we consider in this fabulous, fabulous prequel to week four, where we're really going to start getting into the help? What else is there to say about the homework? The meditations are so important. You know, I keep saying over and over and over, the champions that I've worked with, the most successful people that I work with, the most successful people that I know, the happiest people that I know, the ones that consistently get results, and the foundation of the superhero is this constant attention to the detail of the basics, the very simple basics. So what is that in terms of recapitulating what we've talked about and what we've focused on in the last 3 weeks? What are the basics of that? Anyone want to tell me through the Gmail chat what the basics are? Breathing. Don't we just love breathing? We just love breathing. So let's just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths right now. I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes, just looking up within. And just opening the heart and just going a little deeper into the heart, just using your focus, your awareness, your attention, your willpower to move a little deeper into that heart space. We love the heart space. So the superhero lives from the heart, endeavors to meet life through the heart, see with the heart, speak with the heart, breathe through the heart, feel their experience through the heart, interface, connect with, be one with life through the heart. The heart is the organ of awareness, the organ of perception. It's the ultimate sensory organ that we have. And it's far more perceptive than the five senses that we usually associate with sensory, our sensory apparatus, in terms of the eyes and the ears and the nose and the mouth and the skin. The heart sees more than all that. It's more sensitive, it's more aware. And so as we drop into the heart and go deeper and deeper into the heart through the breath and experience life through tenderness, understanding that our vulnerability, our sensitivity, and the fragility that has been developed through so many wounding experiences in life, all of those can serve us in terms of gifting us with a sensitivity and a vulnerability and a fragility, a sense of our own delicacy and sensitivity that we really need in order to become fully spiritualized beings. There's so much detail, there's so much intricacy, the way we, our souls, are interfacing with the living waters in which we're embedded. That is a very delicate, exquisite experience, and so we need sensitivity for that. And of course, when we move out of our hearts and we become very mentally oriented and we become materially obsessed, egoistic and essentially body consciousness, and then we build on that body consciousness with our, you know, overemphasizing that. I'm a physical body. Excuse me, just answering the phone. I'm a physical body, and I'm mortal, limited. I approach life logically. I'm aware of limits, limitations, boundaries, finite. Perspectives. I have belief systems based on my limited perception of life. The superhero understands that that program, that, that way of being, that orientation is wholly limited, and so drops down into the infinite love of their own heart. And the breath is the anchor. The question, remember, was what's healthy? How do we, you know, what have we understood is so healthy in this, in this experience so far? And the first answer was breath, breathing. And that's true, but we're not just breathing fresh air, or we're not just breathing polluted air, depending on where we are. We're breathing. What are we breathing? Let's see someone, one of you brilliant superheroes, tell me, what are we breathing? What do we concentrate on when we're breathing? We're breathing love. What kind of love? Emotional, clingy, dependent, wimpy love, love grace. Yeah, remember that cocktail of love times faith equals grace. Remember, we're talking about being alchemists. You see, we're moving into the understanding of health now, and we're taking weeks 1, 2, 3, and we're bringing all of that experience with us into this health presentation, because, you know, these aren't separate subjects. These are absolutely interrelated, and we're presenting the thing in such a way that we give you the core essence of the teaching so that you understand what's going on and you get the practices to support you in experiencing the experience, which is what you want. You don't need mental concepts. You don't want ideas. We want experience. We want to activate the potential experience. We want to embody the potential experience. We want to become a potential experience that we know is there, that's driving us insane because we can't get to it. It's behind some kind of barrier within us, and we know that's within us. And that barrier is old vibrations, old records, old patterns of the way we've, you know, been behaving, the way we've been thinking, speaking, and feeling. And so breathing love times faith, faith in the divine, faith in life, faith in the spirit of life, the nature of life, faith in the light the light of God, the love of God, the presence of God, whatever you want to call it, faith in the force, in the Tao, in the unified field. But understand it's all about relationship. That's why it's love. And so breathing that love, just breathing it in, 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 allows you to experience increasing levels of peace and bliss consciousness, which allow us to experience optimal personal alchemy. So our alchemical inner being, you know, from the thoughts, the orientation of our awareness shifting when we move out of the limited and the mundane and the purely physical and materialistic. When we move out of that, we open our awareness and come into a relationship embracing the divine presence through the heart connection. And just keep breathing that now and just enter deeper and deeper into the stillness, into the present. And so the superhero, the warrior, the spiritual warrior, guards that inner sanctum. That's where his king and queen make love. And the spiritual warrior guards that realm, protects from any invasive forces coming in to disrupt the kingdom so that the king and queen can't enjoy their love affair. Okay? This is an archetypal mythological language that we're using here. What that means is that the spiritual warrior within you, the awareness, the dynamic, active, decision-making component of your psyche, the one that is capable of taking action, the youthful, ever youthful, and eternally youthful, innocent, ascending, active component of yourself, whose awareness is so sharp that we are aware of any invasive vibrations coming from our own inner world, coming from the darkness within our world, coming through our psyches, coming through our feelings, our thoughts, and our feelings and our thoughts are all part of our psyche. The psyche is sort of a name for the soul. The seed planted in the living waters. And so the sensitivity that we're talking about here of the heart gives us that ability, the quality of the warrior, to feel anything coming, any enemies coming over the border 1,000 miles away in the middle of the night. And the spiritual warrior slays those enemies instantaneously, mercilessly, with the swift and merciless blow of compassion. Isn't that fun? It's so fun. So health, how does this relate to health? Well, it relates to health because if we're not sane, you know, Dr. M. Scott Peck, the author of The Road Less Traveled, you know, if we really want to experience higher and higher levels of health, we need to, you know, understand who we are and start asking the deeper questions in life, and not just asking the deeper questions, but answering them ourselves and experiencing that answer, feeling that the answer is an experience within ourselves. So this is all part of alchemy. Health essentially is alchemy, because we're moving into the physical nutritional protocols that support the superhero. But I'm not going there too fast, because I don't just want to shift over into talking about all those wonderful things that we can blend up and brew and mix into our salad dressings and just eat in their own, in their pure forms, without laying a really powerful foundation that allows you to understand absolutely that no matter what you eat and no matter what you drink, if you're not sane, if your mind isn't unified, if you don't have unity consciousness, if you're not living in your heart, then that whole adventure, that whole sojourn into discovery through food and intake, consumption, is going to be fruitless for you, no matter how much fruit you eat. Even if you're on the 80-10-10 diet, it's still going to be fruitless. So, if any of you see Dr. Doug Graham, just give him the word from Dr. Nick Good. So this is what we're into as superheroes. We have the courage to just open to the reality, the depth of the matter, and consider things deeply, because we understand that awareness and attitude interface with biology to give us the experience that we're experiencing, that we're feeling, awareness and attitude. And we understand that, you know, science is completely, solidly proven that awareness and attitude are the two most critical factors in the health equation, period. Awareness being the most critical, you could say it all comes down to awareness, which is that sharp edge within you, that brightness, that brilliance, that aliveness, that warrior edge, where you are aware of what's going on outside you, what's going on around you. I'm aware of the birds flying in the sky, the wind in the chimes, the wind in the trees, the conversation going on downstairs, the conversation going on over here, the chicken, the ocean, the swell brewing, the way my body is positioned, my posture, my breathing, the fact that I'm sitting here in Noni Land, in Kauai, in the Pacific, surrounded by the Pacific Ocean, spinning on planet Earth, flying through the cosmos, broadcasting to you guys in a dream, in a holographic consciousness that we're sharing right now. So much so that I can invite you to drop deeper into your heart with so much gratitude and appreciation as you look up within into the frontal lobe of your brain. Look forward up in there and see the light and love the light. If you can't see it, imagine golden light. Imagine acres and acres and acres of flowers in fields, blowing gently in the breeze with golden light shining on them. Look up within. So, what does that experience give us? Just moving into that golden light experience, opening our awareness to embrace the eternal all around us. We're on a planet zooming through the solar system, zooming through the galaxies, zooming through the universe. There's billions of galaxies in this universe. How many solar systems are there in this galaxy? Open that up to how many galaxies in the universe, how many universes in the cosmos, how much life is there, manifest, how many beings are there. This is contemplating infinity, this is awareness. I'm aware of the eternal and the infinite lapping against the shores of my soul, all around me. The eternal and the infinite lapping against the shores of my soul, all around me, like a great ocean of love, an ocean of light, coming to this little island in the middle of it all. This little island. Little old me, just shining in there. Ding! And who is little old me? It's not Nick Good. I'm an eternal spark of light. A part of life, a fragment of life, a fractal. An individualized point of consciousness. I'm a living stream of consciousness with eternal possibilities. Infinite possibilities. And I'm shining through Nick Good. This is why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It wasn't Jesus the man talking. That was the Spirit of life talking. Oneness, at one-ment, becoming enlightened. It's not a difficult thing to do. You just have to do it consciously. You were already doing it unconsciously when you were kids. You just have to come into that conscious experience. That's all we have to do. And that's the greatest thing for your health. That's your awareness. You reorient your awareness with that love feeling. That love feeling. Which is deep, solid peace. Love isn't wobbly. It's not up and down, wobbling around. That's emotional, conditional, ego love. It's nothing to do with divine love. Nothing to do with compassion. Nothing to do with unconditional love. It's a distorted version of that. Diluted and distorted. Doesn't mean it's bad, doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean we have to be ashamed of the fact that we can't experience that degree of love all the time. There's nothing wrong here. What it means is that our awareness, our elevated awareness, purer consciousness, deeper understanding, more acute, higher instincts, more sensitivity in terms of, okay, what is vibrationally true and what is vibrationally a little disharmonic there. Is that ukulele string absolutely in tune or is it a little out of tune? And is the tuning, if I say it is in tune, is that tuning attuned to the way of the world, i.e. the chromatic scale? Or shall I tune my ukulele to the ancient original tuning frequencies, the Solfeggio scale? And what that means is, am I living my truth according to the original eternal vibrations of my own spirit and soul? Am I truly one with the spirit of life? Or am I living some political truth or legal truth, physical material law? You see the difference? And they can be the same, they can be matched up, but when you're in your heart space, you know the difference. You know what's true, you know what's in your highest truth, and where you're prostituting yourself through the ego. The ego is body consciousness, pure and simple. We think with these physical bodies, we're running around in this physical world, we're doing all these things, we think we're so great, or we think we're not so great. You know, we get upset when we can't have the things that we want, and we like it when people are nice to us, we don't like it when they're not nice to us. You know, sweet little egos. So health is becoming aware of these things. You know, to become sane, say, the difference between sane and insane, that sanity is from root, you know, the same root as the word sanitize. So we need to clean something here. And obviously we're going to be moving into talking about physical detoxification, cellular detoxification on a biological level, if I ever get around to that. But way more important is cleansing our psyches. That's why we invented Sun Pop. Yeah. Superhero psychological conditioning protocols. Brainwashing. What about soul washing? You see, the soul is like a seed. It's been planted in the fertile soil of creation, the holographic universe, which is nothing more than your imagination. It doesn't matter what my experiences are to you. What matters is your experiences. So if my experiences help you feel differently, and therefore your experience of reality shifts on every level, then it's relevant. But really, you're still having your experience, and you always will be having your experience. That soul is like a seed planted in the fertile soil of creation, in the holographic universe, holograph, the holograph of life. But it's that holograph is nothing more than and less than your imagination. Consciousness is everywhere, all times. Ask any remote viewer who's worth his salt. Ask Gerald O'Donnell, our friend Gerald. By the way, if you want to try remote viewing, you can pick up Gerald O'Donnell's remote viewing course off Success Ultra Now. It's amazing. I did that for quite a while. I haven't been practicing just lately. I'm more into a transcendental meditation right now. But remote viewing is just amazing. So consciousness is in everything. Our feeling experience changes our perception of reality all of the time. And our awareness adjusts our perception of reality all of the time. And that's very, 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 very significant, the way we feel. Brother Jared, I'm going to invite you in later, yeah? So just be available. We're going to have a special guest on when we get to the alchemical solutions to our biological opportunities. And our superhero Jared is in the house, and he's going to be coming on in a few minutes when I've finished this little presentation prequel to the next bit. So the soul is embedded in creation. It's planted like a seed. Now it's very, very interesting that that seed records the vibrations of its experience. And so, as a soul, if we understand that a soul just, it just preserves the continuity, it's like a little bubble of consciousness. Instead of consciousness being a free living stream that is eternally free and is not limited to any singular dimension of space and time, but is experiencing itself freely, wherever, however. So it can be experiencing itself in all experiences simultaneously. That's pure consciousness, pure oneness. Or it can be experiencing itself as multiple dimensions simultaneously. That's a multidimensional experience. And these are not little subjects we're talking about here. But what we are here in the three-dimensional reality, in our little kindergarten, where we're just learning how to wear our nappies properly, how to put our nappies on properly, because everybody's been walking around with them on their heads. Or they, as soon as they filled them up, they think they're hats and just be wearing them on their heads. You know, we're completely insane. Hands up who's not insane around here. Most of the time, you know. Yes, we know Christina and Nancy aren't. But apart from Christina and Nancy, come on. Okay, so the soul is planted in creation. It's embedded, it's planted in the fertile soil of our imagination. It's in the holographic reality that does what we ask it to do through the vibrations that we've stored in our subconscious and our unconscious. So those recordings have to be dissolve, purified. We have to get rid of all that negative, discordant stuff that's magnetizing to us, a negative, discordant world, which shows up on the shores as a manifest physical reality in 3D. And have a look at the news. Have a look at the news. That's what we've magnetized towards us. That's what, you know, a lot of you guys, a lot of your friends and relatives are sustaining. You know? And the superhero chooses not to sustain that anymore. We're into the Gandhi-style revolution of silent revolution, peaceful revolution, and non-cooperation. So, but in order to do that, I need to have self-mastery. I need to be aware of who I am in terms of this living stream of consciousness within a bubble that preserves its continuity. So we're having individual experiences here. The notion of reincarnation is we go from one experience to the next experience to the next experience. And I've been your guru, you've been my guru, I've murdered you, you've raped me. You know, we've robbed each other, we've loved each other, you've been my mother, I've been your father, we've been everything. That's what, the possibility, the probability of reincarnation confirms, that consciousness gets to experience itself in all these different permutations. So we get this, the depth of life. Now, if the eternal stream, the living stream of consciousness, the river of life, doesn't individualize and preserve the continuity of its experiences, so it can recap on those experiences, it can reconcile those experiences and get continuity of feedback. Okay, here I am, I'm Nick Good today, I'm in this experience. Now I've got Success Ultra now and I'm an author. A few years ago I was a rugby player and a boxer and I was really into fighting and I used to think violent thoughts all the time. Beat guys up all over the place and drink lots of beer and you know, I was into near-death experiences for my thrills. And I conclude from those experiences that there's a higher way and therefore I'm going to make adjustments to my current way in order to experience that higher way. So that's a continuity of experience. There's a shift there between the old and the new. And if I go back further, pre that saga that I just described, there was a new identity. There was a different identity, and older than that. I've had many identity changes and shifts and upgrades of consciousness in this incarnation. That's what, a life of adventure and great destiny is, you know, when you really go for it and, you know, live life to the fullest and, you know, do the best you can to experience as much as you can in the highest possible way, always seeking to learn and share and change and grow, then you're going to have a lot of experiences of that shift your consciousness in one single life. Well, the backdrop of eternity, this time-space continuum of these huge cycles that turn for, you know, thousands and thousands of centuries, that's to provide souls that aren't so into, you know, like going all over the place and doing every single thing that they can possibly do and have all the energy and drive and will to do that, to have lives in which, you know, okay, now I grew up in this little village, my dad was a farmer and I farmed and then I took over the farm and we had our little life and everything was lovely and slow and we learned all these things and then I got older and slowed down and I realized, all I really, really love is the peace and the quiet and love and cuddles. And then I died. And then I reincarnated and had another experience. You see? So that band of experiences in there was, you know, there's significant experiences in there. There's being born, there's adolescence, there's puberty, there's your dog dying, you know, and all of these sort of markers through life. There's meeting your love, getting married, having children, we all live happily ever after. All that stuff, these are all markers in the evolution of consciousness. Now you can fast track that stuff. You can get a lot of markers going if you're someone like me and someone like Dave Wolf. But it doesn't mean you have to do that in order to have an experience that shifts you. It's just, I'm just saying that I did it, and so I've had a lot of things that have changed me. And so the vibrations in the soul, whether they're from one single lifetime or from a lot of different lifetimes, affect the way what's growing out of the soul grows in the garden of life. You understand what I'm saying there? If you don't understand, just watch it again anyway. So we grow in life, and what do we sprout out of the soul? The river of eternal consciousness flowing through the soul sprouts, in this case, a man. And what's sprouting, this awareness, the tree of life, the tree, what they call the tree of life, that the whole Kabbalah is based on, is really the central nervous system with all its branches. This awareness, the perception of reality, the central nervous system, and the DNA, the filaments in the cellular structure, which are way more sensitive and way more significant than the central nervous system. So that filament structure, the tree of life with all its branches and intricacy, you know how a tree is with its roots and its trunk and its branches and all of those beautiful little fingers, they represent the tree of life within us. So the tree grows from the seed. The seed is the soul. The soul is planted in the garden. The wise and powerful hands scatter the seeds. Here we all are. Growing in the garden. Guess what? We are. We are. If, what's the big if? If we accept it. If we accept it. If you accept it. And not just mentally, not just saying, yeah, this guy's on the right track, I agree with him, and go down the pub tonight and say, you know what, lads, we're all free, you know that, don't you? Now, we need to experience our freedom as a genuine reality. And if you think about it, being free in the world, what does that mean? Okay, I don't pay taxes, I do what I want when I want, I travel all over the place, I live in countries that I don't, you know, have any legal right to be in, I stay after my visa's expired, I do what I want, I'm free, okay? And I make a lot of money, so I've got financial freedom. And I say what I want when I want to say it. That's all freedom within the context of the ego, which is upgrading all the time. It's not a bad thing. It's not our enemy. We're not bad people because we have them. But that freedom is not the same as divine freedom, as eternal freedom, because of a spiritual experience, spiritual feeling, and a oneness experience. And what can I say about that to you? That's all I can say about that. So the freedom is within. It's a feeling. It doesn't matter whether you're trapped in a little concrete box. You know, this is what the yogis prove over and over and over. You can go to India and your average common or garden untouchable, you know, the caste system, the lowest of the low, your average common or garden untouchable, the ones that, you know, don't go near them, definitely don't marry them, don't bring them home, you know, those ones, yeah, teenagers, no, just kidding, those ones, the untouchables, your average common or garden untouchable, you know, I've seen them, stick their tongue out. There was this one beach. Let me tell you a couple of stories. The Untouchables, talking about soul power. Okay, this is awareness. Now, are these people healthy? Are you healthier than them? Am I healthier than them with all my superfoods and all my nutritional protocols, my alchemical wisdom, my cocktails, my nutritional strategies, my athletic ability? Am I actually healthier than someone on this beach? Check this beach out. So imagine a beach in India. It's kind of a scruffy place on the outskirts of a pretty big city. These people, the Untouchables, the beggars, would go down to this beach. Not all of them, but I think, you know, more than 50, a lot of people would go down to this beach with their begging bowls, really skinny people in loincloths, you know, obviously not eating very much, not particularly attractive physically, would go down to this beach and with their begging bowls, with a little cup, and sit there, meditate, watch the sunrise. Sun came up, and what they would do is dig a hole in the sand with their hands, dig it out, or with their bowl, with their cup, dig this hole out, put their head in the sand, and then cover their head up with the sand, and stay there all day with a little begging bowl next to them, hoping someone would put a rupee in there. And these are tramps, these are bums. These are not healthy people by American standards. Are they healthier than us? Awareness. What are they aware of? What they are aware of is that they are not a physical body. And they are having an experience that proves that represents that they feel. And they can demonstrate the power of that experience, how that experience transcends the laws of nature, by doing what they do, burying their head in the sand and this, that, and the other. And not just that, you know, they'll stick their tongue out and cut through three quarters of the way through their tongue with a really sharp razor blade, those old-fashioned razor blades, just stick it out. I've seen it with these eyes. Stick it out and hack nearly all the way through it, and it's like, oh, God, it's all, you know, you can see it, it's open. And then stick their tongue back in their mouth and go, there it is again, all gone, perfectly good. Pouring boiling water, boiling up the kettle on the fire, and then just open their mouth and just pour boiling water straight down their throat. Yeah. Awareness. When you are aware of the fact that you live in an eternal universe that is benevolent, it is for you, it loves you unconditionally. That means it's not attached to you, it doesn't care, you can't hurt it. If you ignore it, if you never talk to it, if you completely ignore it, if you go and, abuse its manifestations, it doesn't care. You're not going to upset it. God isn't going to get angry or go into a tiff, you know. All we can do is hurt ourselves. All we can do is spoil our experience. You know, the way we're feeling. That's all we can do. And we do it constantly by choosing what to be aware of and what to ignore. So if I ignore, I live in ignorance. If I ignore my eternal birthright and the relationship I have with that eternal spirit of life, if I ignore the infinite within me, if I orient my awareness away from that, I literally cut myself off to the divine flow, the living truth, the light of God. I cut myself off through my ignorance. Ignorance being one of the three pillars of the ego. The other two are fear and arrogance, arrogant pride. I'm essentially terrified because I'm in ignorance of my symbiotic relationship to the whole, to the eternal. And I'm frightened because of that, but I'm also, in my ignorance, I create I crystallize a reality, a physical reality, a material reality, and I'm proud of that. I have pride in that. I'm proud of my achievements. I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of myself. Or I'm not. I'm ashamed of it. We can have the inversion of pride and arrogance, which is, you know, shame and guilt. That's why people are, you know, walk around hunched up. They're ashamed of themselves. I'm a really tall guy, and my shoulders, I was always hunched like this because I was basically ashamed of being different. You know, I had very low self-esteem when I was a boy and as a young man. So these are all vibrations that store in the soul, and that's the psyche, that's the unconscious, that's the subconscious, and then these vibrations are going to attract a certain kind of reality towards us. And so if we have vibrations of fear within the soul because we're egocentric, body conscious, materialistic, I mean, I'm not talking about ignoring the body and not taking care of material, I'm talking about getting the perspective right so that we don't shut out the eternal all around us and the infinite within us, so that the seed, the focal point of consciousness within the seed, the sense of self within the sea, the I identity, that I land. Remember the ocean lapping against the shores of the soul, the I land in the ocean of eternity. That sense of I doesn't ignore the eternal, the divine, which the divine is in everything. So in the tiniest particle, there's the presence of divinity. It doesn't mean that God is everything, by the way. But it does mean that God is in everything and around everything, but He's not those things itself. Nick Good is not God. You are not God. All these things are not God. These are appearances in the world of form. They are appearances, changing images in this great ocean of amazement and wonder. So part of the awareness is opening in wonder with deep love, deep love that's rock solid. It doesn't wobble around. It's constant, which is why peace is the foundation of love. And love is the foundation of peace. Most of us need to practice more peace enhancing habits in our lives in order to experience the love that we're looking for, the love that we are. As we become more peaceful, we experience who we truly are. As we become more peaceful, we become healthier. A peaceful biology is a very healthy biology. So let's have a few breaths there, because the river was flowing, wasn't it? Let's have a few breaths and integrate that, so just breathing softly and gently. Soft, gentle, deep breath. Soft, gentle, deep breath. Yeah. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful peace. So awareness, awareness, awareness. The alchemy of awareness, attitude, and biology. So I think it's time we invited our special guest on this week. Our special guest, Jared the Alchemist, he's around within earshot. He's going to bring us the delightful perspectives of an enlightened superhero in the world. And I was telling you I've been into transcendental meditation a little bit just lately. And this question of enlightenment, what is an enlightened being, came up. And once you get to a certain level of awareness, and you're able to maintain a certain attitude, you want to come on over, mate, or you just about to have some lunch, you want to come and join the party over here. Yeah, we have to get quite close. We have to be cuddled up a bit here. Yeah.
Aloha.
So here's Jared. There's a beautiful, enlightened being for you there. This is youth shining, let's say, the eternal light and love shining through a youthful appearance over here. How old are you, mate? 21 years old?
21.
Yes. So we're very glad to have Jared here at Noni Land with us, and he is an alchemical master, and he's going to be sharing a little bit, probably more next week and more the week after, as we go deeper into this understanding of nutritional protocols and how we can shift the alchemy in the biology to blend with the alchemy of our awareness and our attitude, as those vibrations within the cellular structure blend with the liquid that's in the cellular structure, which is intracellular fluid and extracellular fluid, which is primarily defined by the quality of the lymph, the lymphatic system, and the blood. I'm sure you know a lot about that, don't you, brother?
I know a bit about that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what sort of things would you love to be talking about then over the next couple of broadcasts as we get deeper and deeper into this subject about nutritional protocols and how these individuals, as superheroes, were making dramatic shifts in the way they think and feel and what they're aware of, how they orient their sense of awareness in life, so they're actually literally shifting the genetic coding sequences, the combination locks within the cellular structure that are allowing this divine potential to pour through into their biology. How do we want to meet that with nutritional strategies that deliver through the blood that really create that unbelievable alchemy of super health for these superheroes?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, proper alkalization and balancing metals, as well as having a proper range of caloric intake and various ways of sequencing that.
Yeah, okay, so let's just have a look at those individually, because these are huge subjects we're talking about here that are massively significant, and we're going to go through these. One of the beauty of this course, although we said it's a 7-week course, it's probably going to be way longer than that, because we're just taking the time that we need to take in order to really gift everything that we need to gift in deep and precise and exquisite detail, so that everyone can really understand and receive the gift that we're sharing. So let's just start. The first two things that we talked about there, alkalization and the dealing with the metals in the situation, from my point of view, two extremely significant subjects. And I'm going to let Jared go off on this in a moment. But alkalization, obviously, the acid-alkaline balance is one of the most critical ratios in the body. And we know that in terms of homeostasis, we know that just a tiny fraction of a degree, a raising degree of the core temperature, of the inner temperature in the body, you know, it sends us into fever and purging, and the body just ejecting toxins. And another click up there, and you can be, you know, extremely close to death in minute changes of body temperature. We're not talking about even going up one single degree. And so this, the same thing, as I understand it, applies with the acid-alkaline ratio. When we're talking about changes in pH, the dropping of the pH, it's extremely critical in terms of the levels of health that we achieve and what the consequences of that are. And so I'm going to let Jared talk about that in a moment. But the metal factor as well, the way the metal's mixing in, and I've had big experiences with metals coming from the sort of background and society that I grew up in, the lead and the mercury. We were massively inundated with those things. As I understand it, one of the most debilitating effects that heavy metals has, apart from their toxic presence in the blood and just a gradual long-term debilitation of health because of the levels of poison, but they're also extremely efficient at blocking messengers running down neural pathways. And the body has a tendency to store metals in fatty tissue. And so the brain, being largely fatty tissue from a physical perspective, there's a tremendous amount of heavy metals and heavy metal toxicity can end up in the brain, which is why the dental, the strategies of the modern medical system coming through dentistry put mercury into your teeth, because it leaks through there and goes up into your brain. This is a strategy. This is an Illuminati protocol to destroy or prevent the exactly what we're experiencing here together. It's part of the dark components of the game of life, the way that we've set it up to enjoy, escaping from this impossible situation that's coming at us from all angles. There's only really one way to do it, and that's to come into that, the absolutely embracing your immortality and your infinite potential that just transmutes and overrides everything. So those metals, once they get into the brain, they block messages, electrical signals, electrochemical signals that are moving through pathways, neural pathways, and prevent the body from communicating with itself, prevent cells from communicating with the brain, which is a very significant, has very significant consequences in terms of you experiencing the highest levels of health and happiness that you can. So, brother, alkalization and metals.
Alkalization.
Take it away.
Well, I would say that one of the main pieces right now in alkalization is magnesium. And that's because when a lot of people think about alkalizing, they think about calcium. And calcium is one of the main issues in lack of circulation. Basically turning into a statue, your body's just going to lock up. So if you're getting acidic and you attempt to alkalize with calcium, your body's just going to continuously be conductive. And that conductivity kind of overshoots the circuits, kind of fries you out. And when you're attempting to bring in these high energies, through your meditation or your yoga, and you don't have something to balance that, something that can calm the system down but keep you in that state so you can raise the charge and not fry out the circuit, you need something like magnesium. And magnesium is a non-conductor. It facilitates 300 plus enzymes, 800 metabolic processes. I mean, this is one of the main things. I mean, it's basically found in chlorophyll, green plants. Cacao is considered one of the highest sources of magnesium as well. And when we were, living closer to nature, and some cultures that are still in that space, or if you have access to spring water, you can get magnesium from specific springs. And that form of magnesium is magnesium bicarbonate. And that's the magnesium that will get into your intracellular fluid and alkalize it. And it's considered one of the most powerful intracellular fluid alkalizers. And you could research quite a bit of this on mgwater.com. There's tons of info on magnesium bicarbonate and the chronic magnesium deficiencies that are going on in the United States and around the world. And
just say that website again.
mgwater.com.
And let's just talk about the difference between, because let's basically face it, we're living in modern society, we're just coming out of the machine. It's had us for a long time, so we're all chronically affected in one way or another, and probably the older you are, the more so. And so the understanding that what we were talking about today was natural forms of magnesium, like the foods you were talking about, may not have the sufficient quantities for mega dosing to allow the
exactly. Well, one of the key things is there are inorganic mineral forms that our body can utilize, like a bicarbonate, and that you get in spring water. So nature does provide inorganic minerals that bridge that life to crystalline life, that mineral frequency, that pure mineral frequency, and then the living. Mm-hmm. And we also get that from the ocean too. If you go swimming in the ocean, magnesium is also very rich. But in a lot of the foods today, and from most people's history of eating poorly and then accumulating other elements that then can block magnesium intake, attempting to remineralize magnesium with just standard chlorophyll rich foods, doing wheatgrass, any spirulina, even being super rich in chlorophyll. I mean, all these things are wonderful. They're amazing. Keep doing them. But you got to go through phases of basically eliminating heavy metals. Something like mercury can inhibit your magnesium intake. Also having excess calcium in the diet. If you're still doing dairy, I guess at a certain point you can do raw dairy can be beneficial for certain people. But that's another factor because, taking that calcium in continuously, your body's also not going to be able to utilize calcium if you don't have magnesium. Mm. And magnesium is also the key to getting into the bone. So when you have no magnesium, the body starts leaching the calcium out of the bone to alkalize the acidity.
Yeah.
And then you start getting muscles gluing to your bone. And if you feel your femur, how big around is the bone? Can you even touch your bone? I mean, that's a funny one. You can get in there with your elbow and just start grinding the stuff off of your femur bone. And, that doesn't exactly feel too good. You gotta get in there and figure out a way to relax that and find a way to balance those minerals so that the bone comes back, the muscles come back, and you get some structure into your system. Because, that's what alkaline and acidic balance, that's your battery right there. That's what brings in that structure, that refined, beautiful human being, that structure, that crystal that we are. But if you're too acidic, you're going to melt. Pour some hydrochloric acid on something, it's probably going to burn up.
Yeah.
Lactic acid produced in our body, go for a walk, go for a run, stop breathing, get anaerobic. And the anaerobic space is kind of where we're going with the alkalinity and magnesium. And that just allows everything to keep that relaxed space so that you can be in that high frequency and be comfortable and take in that and integrate all those things that you're going to be integrating through all these phases of cleansing. And it's just that magnesium is going to be key in this. And there's a number of other minerals too, and of course the heavy metal detoxification is going to be really important because mercury, as I said earlier, and cadmium, arsenic, and a couple of other minerals, if you have an excess of those, can also inhibit it. So doing chelation with things like chlorella in combination with cilantro can be also be helpful. There's also EDTA suppositories. There's a number of things out there that are available that you can use for heavy metal detoxification.
Yeah, and that chlorella and cilantro combination is good with the saunas as well, far infrared sauna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's lots of good information to supplement all that that Jared's just spoken about there, and just getting on that stuff, taking action there. And so this all comes under the heading of awareness. There's a very bright, aware young man here. And so we understand, okay, awareness. This is extraordinarily important to be aware of these things. This is what an enlightened individual is. They're aware. And so I was just saying, we had the TM meeting the other night, we were talking about this enlightenment factor. And there's no ceiling on this. We're never going to stop learning. He's never going to stop learning about stuff. We're never going to become too aware, or our awareness, that's it. It's just like constantly, 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 constantly. And it's so much. And especially if you start, I'm sure you've done so much investigation and research, and so have I, just wading through the contrasting opinions and perspectives, and this guy will say this, and he's got all these qualifications and experience, yeah, and all this, and all these test case studies to prove his point. This guy will say something completely different, and he's got all these qualifications and experiences and all these case studies. We're sharing information with you to the best of our knowledge is the best ever. What we are saying is, you go away and experiment with this. If it doesn't change the way you feel and shift your experience in a positive and wonderful way, then try something else. But I'd, we guarantee all our stuff 100%. So that's really exciting, mate. Anything else you want to say about alkalization? Because I'd love to say something about water filters in a minute.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to address this here. Mag oil. Mag oil is awesome. I think it's great. I think putting topical magnesium, being able to basically get your entire body at a time, and soak it through the skin, because the skin eats anything you put on it. And you can also do baths if you have, clean filtered water, or you can at least dechlorinate your water and get in a hot bath and pour in a ton of magnesium chloride or magnesium oil, which is basically the same thing. You get in there, soak in there for a while, that'll really calm down the muscles, calm down any cramps or tension you might have, and that's a great way to address it. But it is magnesium chloride, which means it's going to raise your chloride levels. So it's an acid and alkaline balance going on, but you do get the magnesium, which is key.
Yeah.
And
Epsom salt?
Epsom salt, so that's magnesium sulfate. And that'll work as well. Magnesium sulfate works too.
Yeah, so we love the baths. So the model that we're really understanding now is, as our awareness expands and we get a deeper and deeper and deeper understanding of what's going on, and it is the microcosm, the macrocosm being reflected in the microcosm. So we can see that this, the subject that we're talking about here is relevant to every level of creation. It's relevant physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And this notion that toxicity and calcification and also bacteria and microorganisms adhere to the bones, the skeletal structure, and create an environment that actually needs to be physically broken down. And so we combine these protocols that we're going to go deeper and deeper into with deep tissue massage. We're really into deep tissue massage. In fact, we're going to have a session of that later today, aren't we? I've been giving and receiving a lot of that just lately, and it's amazing. It's like excruciatingly painful when you go into these places that you're, you know, that you've got these blockages and cloggages, but the and it's like, you know, repulsive to me at certain moments, that pain. It's not an enjoyable experience. I've got no masochistic tendencies in my nature whatsoever. But afterwards, the day after and the day after that, the shift and the feeling as this new juice comes flowing through, as this eternal river of consciousness, the eternal life stream that you are, that we are, the love and the light of creation, comes streaming through how it's supposed to be streaming through in this, in a relaxed biology, free of these encumbrances, is really the revelation there and the proof and the pudding, and makes it so worthwhile. So whether we're talking about adherences to the physical body, the biological terrain shifting to support these organisms that get in there, David Wolf's really leading the charge on the understanding of the micro, the nanobacteria, and how they can be dealt with. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about these protocols as we go on. But it's also happening in our psyches. There's invisible blockages in our minds, invisible blockages in the neurology within our brains. There's emotional blockages for the free flow of love. Compassion should be flowing through us. There's vibrational blockages in there. So we're addressing things on every level, but we have to go in deep, and we have to use strategies that are really effective in order to shift these things that way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit more about alkalization, and I want to talk a little bit about water. I'm sure Jared's got a lot to say about that. From my own experiences, you know, there's a great debate on about water, which water's good for you, is this water any good for you, is that water any good for you, which water filter is the best, our water filter is good anyway. There's no doubt that if you're living close to fresh spring water and you're receiving fresh spring water fresh out of the ground, and that spring water is soft and doesn't have a massively high inorganic mineral content, that is, quote unquote, the best water ever. And that, but that actually is a very few of us who actually have that, the blessings of that. And so if we're in the cities, you know, a lot of us are in urban areas and we're sort of drinking bottled water and water from the health food shop and whatnot, and there's a lot of studies, you know, being revealed at the moment about the rip-off companies in the water. A lot of those water companies have been bought up by gigantic corporations, and just the, you know, they're basically putting tap water through reverse osmosis and you know, marketing that as really good stuff. So we've done a lot of homework on this subject. When you're raw foodish, you tend not to need to drink too much extra water, or at least feel that you don't, because you're being hydrated. But what I've personally experienced just lately, because we've been experimenting with the Athena water filter, which alkalizes the water, it microclusters the water, it energizes the water, it puts a high negative ionic charge in it, and it restructures the water and, of course, cleanses it. what I've experienced from that is tremendous health benefits. I've really, really, really felt the difference on that. It's very rare that I actually feel different when I try something, because I usually feel, you know, really very good nearly all the time. So but this was definitely significant. And so I feel that the alkalization coming through that water particles that are so small that they can really get into the cellular structure, with a structure that the cells actually recognize as something mm-hmm. that they want to get involved with, and this negative ionic content as well. Do you have anything to say about that, Dave? Subject?
Yeah. Subject? Well, you know, RO water and distilled water tend to be very popular in the, you know, purified water market, and a lot of that's very acidic.
You get
distilled water, you know, including, you know, a lot of, like, it's basically like rain. I mean, rain's designed to go to the earth, break down minerals, and feed it to plants and microbes. And the acidity in that is basically going to do the same thing in your body. It's going to start just eating you up. And, you know, there's a place for every type of water. There really is no one single water that one should drink, I feel. You know, we have oceans, rivers, rain, springs of many kinds. There's many types of water on the planet that we're designed to interact with in different ways that fulfill different aspects of our being. And, you know, as for just sort of like a consistent drinking water, you got to start with at least getting rid of the acid. Mm. And that could be done by ionizing, which, you know, if it's coming from a tap line, you're going to concentrate any of the metals in there and excess calcium, if there's any calcium. You know, so that's something that could be maybe temporary. And deionized water as the other choice, you know, which is basically reverse osmosis gone through, and then you put it through a deionizing resin. And then you pretty much get pure lab-grade water, deionized 7.0 pH water. And from there, you still have to mineralize that and structure it. And, you know, the structuring aspect is really key. You know, bringing that water back to life. How do you get the messages back in there? Vortexing, really important. Toning, sounds, crystals, anything you can think of. What do you think that the Earth would be doing inside there? It's probably going through crystal caverns and 90 different minerals. I mean, who knows what's going on in every spring? I mean, every spring is very unique. And
let's just talk about that a little bit more. I'd love to chip in and just go a little deeper into that subject. Water basically is the frequency carrier. We understand from Dr. Masaru Emoto's work, we've seen that great work, The Hidden Messages of Water. If you haven't checked it out, you know, have a really good look at that. And we understand that water basically carries the vibrations of the way energy is being directed into it. And so Masaru Emoto showed that through writing messages and sticking them onto the side of a glass of water, taking a photograph of that water before they did that and after they did that, and incidentally it was distilled water, and they froze the distilled water, take a photograph, have a look at it, and then write something on it or put an intention into the glass of water, direct an intention into it. They had all kinds of different words like love, the chi of love and gratitude. They had hate. They had like so many different words. And they were able to photograph the shift in the structure of water and actually take a physical photograph of the crystal that appeared in the water when they froze it again. And so they could see the change, and they could understand, okay, this is what occurs when we put this intention into the water in this way. And so what that basically means is, for us, is that the water that we drink, and more importantly, the water inside our bodies, is absorbing vibration all of the time. And the quality of the vibrations that it's absorbing, of course they're going to affect us. You know, this is why cellular health is so vital. You know, we hear, there's always a lot of discussion about, you know, just how significant is physical health. If we, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to like the hyper spiritual people, you know, they just really aren't interested in physical health. They're totally focused on their divine connection with the light, and they're sort of floating up here somewhere in a little pink cloud, and they're having a beautiful time when they're in that meditation, when they're in that state. But if they're ignoring their bodies and eating, you know, too much of stuff that doesn't really served, it acidifies, it dehydrates, it demineralizes and all the rest of it, and constipates and blocks them up, then they're not having such a happy time when they're walking around having to do things, yeah? So we understand that there's like a love, liquid, light equation going on where, yeah, there's divine light coming in and it's brightening the cell, and we want lots of illumination from having an enlightened awareness. And there's a love factor in the cellular structure from the emotional feeling health of the individual, and you know, how it relates to that divine light and how it extends that relationship out into the world of form around it, the loving vibrations within the cell, and also the liquid that's in there. And these three things have to alchemically come together in their optimal on their optimal levels for us to experience the full potential of ourselves as superheroes manifesting in the world of 3D, physical,
yes.
Capable of doing the gardening, making love, going surfing, meditation, dancing, making the best chocolate ever, flying all over the world, doing this, that, and the other, hanging out with ultra-terrestrials, going to other planets in physical bodies.
Yes. How do we embody?
So that's what we're into. We're not saying we are overemphasizing physicality and materialism and this is the only way. We're not saying that at all. What we're saying is that if you are interested in joining us in this experience, which we're talking about grounding it in, taking it deep into the world of form right now, meeting darkness head on in the world of form right now, and standing as a living representation and embodiment, a physical embodiment of the solution to this, the problems that this darkness is giving us all, challenging us with, then keep listening. You're in the right place. And Brother Jared here is going to carry on talking about alkaline water. What else do you want to talk about in that subject there?
Yeah, well, magnesium bicarbonate can only be found in water. So it's not like a powder or a crystal or anything you could buy. You actually have to make it yourself. And if you've already typed on the internet and done your little research, you might have already found that out. But magnesium bicarbonate, be sure to, you know, when you make that, you know, look it up. You're going to find out how to make it. You're going to have to do it on an empty stomach. If you drink it with your food's not going to digest properly. Hydrochloric acid's going to be neutralized. And
because it's so alkalizing.
Yeah, it's very alkalizing. It's great first thing in the morning. So that way the rest of your day, your muscles are happy. And even at night, too, if you eat very little at night, you know your stomach's empty, go for a good dose of magnesium bicarbonate then. It'll help to reduce any cramps you might have, you know, while you're sleeping. If that's, you know, I know a lot of older people have that issue. That's a great solution.
I jump up and down with cramps all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So water, let me just, I just want to say a little thing about water. It's an incredible subject. You can research it forever.
Yeah.
Now, there's a whole spectrum of perspectives on this. If you study the work of Dr. Batman Galeej, you've ever heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
F.M. Batman Galeej, beautiful name, Indian doctor. Now, if you study his work, what he's basically proven through his experiences is he was actually locked up in an Iranian jail. Did you know that? He was in a jail in Iran, and apparently they don't treat the prisoners too well in Iranian jails. I know a desire to find out firsthand about this. We're taking this on secondhand. This is the testimony of Batman Galeej. So what they're saying is that he was in this Iranian jail, and of course a lot of guys were getting really, really sick all over the place and demonstrating all kinds of symptomatic a disorder. And so the only thing he had access to for a healing tool, a physical healing tool, was water. Mm-hmm. And of course he didn't have any reverse osmosis distilled water, alkalizing, microclustering, negatively ionic charging, fresh spring water, magnesium bicarbonate, or any of that stuff. All he had was municipal tap water coming through the pipes of that jail. And so his little medical protocol was a little cup of water or half a cup of water. And so he was giving these guys tap water and chronicling shifts in their states, healthy, getting healthier and healthier and healthier and coming out of all kinds of trouble situations. So what the conclusions that we can draw from that You know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, what you need is probably really, 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 really close to you. Water is a frequency carrier. Masaru Emoto demonstrated that you can take the most polluted, stinking water from the most polluted, stinking rivers in the world, pray over them, minister to them, have the intention, write little love notes on them, and that water will change its structure miraculously from some black sludge into a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful snowflake within it. So it will restructure and give, be able to give you something that is beneficial to you. So remember, consciousness always transcends the physical material form. If we have the awareness of that fact and we have the integrity and the ability to stay centered in the feeling experience that that is true, if that is actually our reality, not just an idea, not just something that you heard from Nick on Success Ultra Now, but actual, yeah, I feel this, this is my truth now, I know this, and I'm walking in this truth, okay? So we've always got that as our foundation, because the way we're being hemmed in, you know, when we're talking about cities, we're talking about urban centers, we're talking about individuals that may still be stuck in the system, the way that system is strengthening its iron grip in many places within the world, and we see this very clearly as things are breaking down and more and more and more light is coming into creation, and the creative eternal beings within that, those individual souls and consciousnesses awakening to their full power, that catalyzes a detoxification process. So it's not like if you've been on that, you know, that ultra toxic nutritional program for a long time and then suddenly you just start, you know, doing all this stuff that we're talking about, you know, that you just immediately start feeling the best ever and turn into, you know, the ultimate superhero overnight. It takes weeks and months and years of dedicated application in order for you to reverse the effects of what that, all that of insanity and that ignorance has caused previous to that. And it's the same thing within society and civilization. As we open, as our awareness expands, as our attitude shifts, as we demonstrate more compassion and enlightened behavior towards ourselves and towards other people, the structure around us, the machine, the thing that we're all trying to dissolve and purify, throws out its worst darkness and its worst stench and its worst hidden secrets. And so we're seeing that now. This is a consequence. The way, you know, things are getting worse for a lot of people is a good sign that things are changing and this darkness is being driven out. So we never want to lose heart. Even if you can't afford a water filter and you can't afford this and you can't afford that, you can always afford to be master of your own mental states, your own feeling states. You can breathe and bring yourself into natural alkalization. So your feeling states, when your brain starts to release those bliss chemicals that occur when you get up and do your meditation early, when you do your meditation before you go to sleep, when you act in a loving, compassionate, enlightened way, your brain is secreting the most wonderful alchemical cocktails that are absolutely looking after your biology in the perfect way. So it's free, this experience. Mm-hmm. But what we're presenting is the whole package here. So if you want to get all the support strategies in place and to help you anchor and really get on a solid foundation so you can have the, you know, you have time, we have time to experience this incredible transformation, this incredible metamorphosis, then these are the kind of things we're talking about. And all of the, everything that we're sharing in terms of and products and things that we're recommending, I'm going to send these all to you on a web page, so you don't have to worry about, you know, what did he say. I'm talking specifically, when I'm talking water filters, I'm talking about the Athena water filter, and I'm going to send you a bunch of stuff on that. That's really, really, really good news. Now, I'm seeing some amazing shifts in individuals that are using that. But drinking water is sort of helps to saturate everything and flushing through and alkalizing and rehydrating. It's all good stuff. But what we're talking about as well is taking that deep into the actual skeletal structure and what's adhering to the skeletal structure and starting to dismantle that. Mm-hmm. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, something on the breathing, that's really key. Deep breathing is one of the most powerful alkalizing tools. Like I said, it's free. Deep breathing is key. If you don't have the water and your body's tightening up, you're feeling acidic, you're grumpy, just do some deep breathing. Find a tree to breathe by or something if you're in the city.
Yeah.
And
And remember, you're breathing the love of your own consciousness. You're breathing the love of life. It's essential that the fact, in terms of alchemy, the alchemy of breath or alchemical consciousness or however you want to phrase that, it absolutely matters what you are focused on while you're breathing. It absolutely matters what you are thinking while you're getting your glass of water or while you're preparing your food and mixing your smoothies and all the rest of it. It absolutely counts how you're vibrating, because the power of creation is coming through you. The power of God is coming through you. It's not a little thing.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. It's very, very important. And if you're not feeling and thinking and orienting your awareness in a divine way, in an eternal way, and in an infinite way, then you're not receiving the maximum that you can do, which can just be what you need to shift out of what you're stuck in that you really, really, really want to shift. And by the same token, you're not able to give what it is that you can give, that unless you're breathing and orienting your awareness and consciousness in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the alkalization, yeah, getting out the crystals. You got to get out that old statue. That's just
the old statue.
Yeah. You got to get it out, and you
got to
bring in that fresh, clean prana, that fresh, clean chi. You got to get the circulation going again. And the alkalization, the acid-free water, stretching, breathing, all these things are very vitally important for getting to that next level. Because this is all past memories, past tensions, less than the highest serving habits and all these things, you know, and it's basically deprogramming. It's kind of like a resurrection, because these are tissues and parts of the body that have been I guess you could say somewhat decaying or degenerating over who knows how long, decades.
Yeah.
You know, something that's been lodged on your bone, glued to it for, 25 years, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I know I've been pretty tense for, the last like 10 years, and I'm only 21. That trips me out. You know, I start going to what happens to my body and what's going on. You know, I can only imagine what's happening in the older generation.
Yeah.
It just must be like a hell or horrific,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like, and we don't have to be there. That's the whole thing, is we can choose to breathe our way through that. We can choose to drink the water.
Yeah.
We can choose to move around, and of course, at the core of it, the meditation, the purity of mind, the intention, the vision, all these things, vitally important.
Yeah.
You might, as you become sensitive, you might start noticing just a thought alone can start tensing the body. And you start going, well, this is interesting. Our mind and our psyche is directly connected to chemicals in the body. Acid and alkaline balance, very interesting. So it's kind of like a full deprogramming. And like you said, it could take 6 months, a year, 2 years. It's different for everybody. It could take you a couple months. I've been through many different phases of the alkalizing process, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I was loving what you were saying there about that, the thoughts. It's important to understand what's going on in the body. I just want to finish on this note, because we had about an hour and a half here. We're like about half an hour over time. We're going to keep going. I don't know how many of these health things we're going to have to do, but we're just going to do what we have to do and to get through them. But I just wanted to finish just the model that we're working with here. So I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and just take some soft, gentle, deep breaths. Just opening your heart, smiling within, the golden inner smile, and just looking up to that internal radiance. And if you can't see it, just imagine a golden field of flowers in your frontal lobe of your brain, and so much golden light just bathing those flowers. And just breathe softly and gently in your heart, with so much gratitude and appreciation, and go a little deeper and a little deeper into your heart, into the love and the tenderness and the beauty of your own sensitivity. And just offer that sensitivity to the amazing grace that's here and now. With so much gratitude and appreciation, and just surrender to that, and understand that this whole process, becoming fully active in the world as a superhero, or transcending the physical world and consciously ascending out of the physical body and consciously, fearlessly moving through the worlds of light is a process of unfolding and unwinding tension, a letting go of tension, a surrendering to the divine, to the holy presence, to the ocean of love and light that's lapping against the shores of your soul. And understand that every single thought is an electrochemical event. Every single thought produces an electrochemical consequence, which your brain then mirrors. It takes that as an instruction. When you think something, it produces an electrochemical effect, which the brain receives as a message, an instruction from you, a creative force within it, saying, I want you to produce this chemical, this electrochemical, and then send it to every cell in the body. And so those electrochemicals, otherwise known as neuropeptides, pass through your blood into every single cell in the body. And every single cell in the body adapts to receive that message. They change their receptor sites. And so if we live in fear, and we live in shame, we live in guilt, we live in anxiety, we live in tension, we live in self-loathing, self-criticism, judgment, we live in anger, all of that is an alchemical cocktail that is constantly producing electrochemicals in the most active chemical factory in the universe. It's going on all the time. There's a phenomenal, astonishingly high number of chemical reactions are going on in you right now. And so understand that that alchemy is what you need to master. Your own mind, what it's producing in terms of electrochemical activity, which is awareness, the higher consciousness, the connection with the divine, opening your hearts with the eternal, looking up within to the light, focusing your attention on the frontal lobe of the brain, activating the centers there with light, seeing the light that's in there, produces the optimal alchemical secretions, gives the brain the instruction, oh, he wants me to produce bliss chemicals, chemicals of enlightenment, and just gets on with it. It doesn't distinguish, it doesn't say, well, we were telling me yesterday to do depression and guilt and shame. You sure you don't want those? Or, oh, yay, these are way better, these ones that I'm doing now. It doesn't care, it just gets on with it. It just does what you tell it to do. There's no judgment coming from the physical particles of creation. So electrochemicals are thoughts, and the electromagnetics are feelings. What you feel, you attract. What you think, you become.
And a note on that, these enlightened hormones or neurochemicals that are formed through positive thinking and meditation and clearing, you're activating higher glands, and these glands are producing these hormones, excreting these hormones. Pituitary, pineal, these are considered master glands. So what are those going to do? Those are going to tune the lower glandular systems. Those are going to tune the lower chakras, and then your body's going to become more aligned. So it's an all-around thing. You get these higher thoughts, these higher feelings, these the most pure, light-filled ways of being. The more the body is going to get in tune, which is why, a lot of these more spiritual traditions say, oh, we don't need to focus on the body so much. But there is a bridge there. There is a connection. Yeah. We do still eat until that point where we're living on light, prana, and cosmic energy. Now we're bridging this.
But even when you are living on light, prana, and cosmic energy, like my friend Jazz Mohin, Jazz? Jazz has been living on light, prana, and cosmic energy for many years. And our friend John Peck, somebody asked about dematerialization and rematerialization. He's dematerialized and rematerialized. I go surfing with him. He's a really good friend of ours. We'll have him on next week or the week after if we can get him, or sometime on the Superhero Train. I'll set that up. He's lived on light and what have you for 86 days. Even those individuals, Jesus as well, everyone, they still look after themselves. Mm-hmm. Jazz really looks after herself. She's the reason why they can get to that level, it's because they have looked after themselves. You know, it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
This is part of in the archetype and the mythology, it's part of the message from Krishna to Arjuna. That whole message that's going on in the battlefield where Arjuna doesn't want to fight, you know, it's what you were saying about choices. You know, we have the choice. Thank God we have the choice to choose these things. Thank God that we're here and be able to share these things. And the people that have made that possible are people that have gone before us, that have sacrificed, that had a lot more to deal with than us, that didn't have those choices, didn't know anything about this stuff. This information was only available to the enlightened few. These are the secrets of immortality we're sharing here. This is extraordinarily enlightened information. So those choices, those people, and these times, we are so grateful. Everyone who amounts to anything in life looks after themselves and looks after their responsibilities in life. Remember we talked about the sevenfold peace, how important that is to attend to the seven facets of your life: peace with the body, peace with the mind, peace with the family, peace with the wisdom of ancient culture, peace with the Heavenly Father, peace with the Earthly Mother, and peace with someone else, but I can't remember what that is. The family, that's right, yeah. Make peace all over the place. Make peace with your body. Have 100 trillion cells in your body singing and dancing in harmony and bliss. And that is going to help your enlightened experience so much more. I've seen a lot of advanced souls, you know, with yogi power, that they look into your eyes and you shift. Something changes in you because they have so much spiritual power. They ignore their bodies, but they're still, you know, I've got this, I've got that, you know. So what? You can become enlightened without being in good physical shape. Of course you can. That's just about adjusting your attitude and awareness. But what we're into is the ultimate experience for a whole human being, as we consider it in the world today, coming through that superhero archetype with a cosmic vision. So we're going through eternity with continuity. We're not just preserving the continuity of the soul, we're taking that continuity into the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick and Jared are going on. We're into immortality and immortal consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And our brothers and sisters from the stars are here to help us with the technology to achieve that. And when they are dancing around more and more and more in our realities, which is coming to a screen near you real soon, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll talk more about that as we go into the later phases of this superhero training, you're going to see that jolt, that reality check of the jolt of, oh my God, this is really happening, this is really real, these guys are really real, is going to let so much more light come flooding into your biology that just activates so much more of your immortal potential. So we want to be ready for that as superheroes, breaking down those crystal structures. What did he say? Breaking down the old statue, you know? And we're going to have a session right now, the old statue, and this old fella is going to be getting some treatment here off the young buck. So we're giving so much thanks, so much appreciation for you guys, for all the effort that you're putting in, for your commitment, for your devotion to this, to revealing yourself, to birthing yourself, to allowing yourself to fully show up in the world in full power. We are giving so much appreciation and gratitude for you guys. Thanks so much for our brother Jared over here.
Mm-hmm.
We are stoked. We had such an initiation today. I took him to this amazing place not far from here called